You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Two unions, ETU and First Union, are currently in the process of filing a case to the Employment Court about Uber driver rights. Currently, Uber drivers are considered contractors rather than workers, meaning they are not entitled to sick leave, holiday pay, may earn below minimum wage, and don't get any of the good stuff workers do. I spoke to First Union spokesperson Anita Rosentretter about how Uber drivers are currently treated and why they're going to court. I started by asking her what the central issues for drivers currently are and where they'd like to see change.
Well, the central issue is that Uber drivers are currently classified as independent contractors as opposed to employees. But our argument is that they really are employees. They're treated like employees already, and therefore they should be correctly classified as employees. And through that, they would become entitled to a whole range of rights and benefits that they are excluded from receiving as contractors at the moment.
Are you confident this will pass? Has this sort of legal change been seen in any other countries?
I mean, we're pretty confident. Obviously, you know, it's up to the court at the end of the day to make that decision, so I can't preempt what the outcome will be. But we wouldn't be taking the case if we didn't feel confident about it. And yes, overseas there have been a number of decisions around this exact issue to do with Uber and other gig companies. There have been decisions in the States, in the UK, in Australia. One of the key ones that we will be referring to in our argument is a very recent case in the UK that went all the way to the Supreme Court, where the court said, no, these workers are not contractors, they are actually workers, and therefore they should be entitled to the rights and benefits that, you know, workers within that category receive in the UK.
And so First Union's taking this case representing Uber drivers. Are the vast majority of Uber drivers, from what you can tell, would they like to see this change?
There's absolutely a large number of Uber drivers who do want to see this change. They want more job protection. Right now they can lose their job at any time and they don't have any ability to challenge that legally, and that's really scary for them because it is their source of income. There are definitely drivers out there who feel differently about the situation. You know, they perceive that there's some benefits around the flexibility of the work that they don't think that they would receive as employees. You know, I guess I disagree that that's necessarily the case, because there is the ability to have a level of flexibility as an employee. It's often not something that people agree to because they're looking for stable full-time work, but that our law is flexible enough to grant people with a degree of flexibility. And obviously we also have things like casual employment.
And so on the changes to places such as the UK, because if it goes through New Zealand, the system would, I imagine, be fairly similar. Have drivers been pretty happy with how that system's working now?
It's pretty early stages, and I probably haven't talked to quite enough people in the UK to establish exactly how it's working in practice. I do know that Uber has, you know, had a really strong reaction to other instances where they've had what they perceive to be unfavourable decisions come out of the court. So in California, for example, they actually just completely ignored the court's decision and continued doing what they had always been doing. So I think that we'll probably have to wait a little bit longer to see exactly what comes out of the UK one in terms of like a broader application of that decision.
When you mention Uber just ignoring the courts over in the US, is that potentially a situation you could see playing out in Aotearoa?
I mean, I guess, you know, past behaviour is meant to be a good indicator of what future behaviour might be as well. But from where I'm standing, I feel like there has to be a point where this company stops with this attitude and behaviour. You know, they've marched their way around the world, entering all of these different countries, completely, you know, acting in contravention to employment law all over the world. Enough's enough. And I just think that there's a certain point when they really just have to stop relying on this as their business model and do things the right way, the way that other businesses are doing it.
That was Anita Rosentretter from First Union on the case currently going to the employment court regarding rights for Uber drivers. I also wanted to get a first-hand account of Uber driving, so I spoke to Miole Kyle, a 54-year-old Uber driver from Wellington, who's been driving Uber for around 4.5 years. Miole's had a wide range of jobs, including working as a coconut plantation manager in Samoa and as CEO of the Samoan Rugby Union. So I started by asking him what appealed about Uber.
My personal circumstances in that I have a mother who was recovering from heart surgery and had that and needed, constant. So the flexibility part was the one that got, concerned. So I can take her to a doctor's appointment, to her exercises and cook her meals and things like that.
And so that flexibility does seem to be one of the central appeals of Uber. Do you enjoy driving for Uber?
It's a bit like a sweet and sour mix in a sense, Yes. On the personal side, it fits in and it provides a source of income and things. However, the way that Uber treats us and how we deal with one another, the relationship, is not at all kosher. It's a one-sided take it or leave it sort of arrangement. And then being classed as a contractor, when they actually demands that you provide a lot more than just taking someone from A to B. You have to be nice, provide a car, smell nice, all the thing, have a good conversation, be courteous, carry their bags and things like that. The public do appreciate this. A lot of us drivers provide a service and look after riders, especially on the weekends when people are out having a good time. And because of the service we provide, a lot of the drunk drivers and that people now use Uber ride share and that to go to their functions, have a good time, and expect to be taken home safely. So we do handle intoxicated people that we have to look after, take to their door and make sure they go home. Things like that that are not in the job description and that. But on the human side, you just feel you need to look after people.
You were talking a little bit before about why you signed up for Uber and it suited your personal circumstances with the flexibility. The proposed changes, which would recognize Uber drivers as workers, do you think it could potentially take away some of the flexibility you currently get?
I do not believe that to be so, because actually that's what Uber relies on in the flexibility. Both of us, Uber and us, know there's the prime time where there's a lot of requests. However, at times you just have to push through to get from one prime time to the other, and you've got, say, a four-hour slow time in the middle that you barely get any rides. And that downtime, there's no money. That downtime is a real killer,
In an ideal world, if we improve the system, would you like to see everyone still earning minimum wage, just you have more drivers working at peak times?
No. Yeah. When you have peak times, it's rush hour.
Right.
And the reason why, you may have 1,000 cars out there, but what's happened? Whether you're picking somebody up or taking somebody up, you're caught in traffic. You can't move fast, It's not like having a clear run, from A to B, or going to the pickup, which is another point. It takes about 15 minutes to pick somebody up and it's only a 5-minute ride. It's a lost situation. And in the peak hours, yes, of course, there's a lot of requests coming through. And because the app runs on a supply and demand pricing, the demand goes up and the cars, it's not that there's not enough cars to go around, it's just that all the cars are stuck in traffic like everybody else, And so your chances, you may get a few rides in the morning, at peak and at higher cost. But how many rides can you do between 8 and 9 with the traffic jams and that, trying to navigate and try and get in and out and do more trips? Not really possible, if you're going in rush hour traffic.
Right. Do you know many other Uber drivers? Do they have a similar perspective to you? Would they also like to see change?
Oh, yes, a lot of us in there. And it's not just the price. The most common complaint about us is the way Uber unjustly and unfair treats us, like how we're accused of something. And when we try to get a fair hearing, on it, they just said, you know, that's it, that's that. And I've had a case like that where there was an issue with the pit. When the pit was brought over, it was wild. The thing, you know, wasn't restraint, wasn't discipline. And I declined the fare, but I'd already traveled over 10 minutes to pick up, and the argument, they were trying to get me to take the dog. I said, there's no way that dog's going to tear up my car and everything. And there's no way. And so when it canceled, because it was then, I got the cancellation fee, and then they went and complained, and Uber took the cancellation fee away because I didn't take, I refused to take the dog. And I tried to argue, and they said that was end of it. You know, a lot of us that do this, you know, we love people, we love driving. I believe I've driven, according to, I think, 58 people from 58 countries. I've got a 4.95 average star rating, diamond rated, with many comments about people appreciating, you know, enjoying the ride. And that and makes you feel good, you know. Good things make everybody feel good, you know, and that's another thriller. You know, for me, it's really good that you've done good to somebody, you know, saved her. I'm a grandfather, and I love looking after the young people. I was young once and reckless, so, you know, it's sort of thing, you know, look after the young one.
And so when you talk about some of these issues, such as cancellation or you don't get a hearing, would these issues be solved if the law was changed as a response to this Etu and First Union filing to the Employment Court?
Well, yes, they're for sure. They can't just do anything now. They'll be covered by, you know, Employment Relations Act. As workers, you know, they can't deduct money from your pay without you having a thing. You have to sit down, and if you raise a grievance to them formally, they have to sit down and have a good hearing with you. They can't just do it over the phone and or on an email and say, well, that's our ruling, you know. They have to front up.
Have you spoken to many Uber drivers who aren't in favor of this, or is it pretty unanimous that people
yes,
like this?
Yes, there are two lots of people I've found. One is they support the action and want to do something, and the other lot, which is the majority, they want to do the action, but they're afraid because they're trying to rub two coins together to pay off the cost of the car and the mortgage and the rent and everything, and they don't want Uber to retaliate. You know, a high number, about 2/3 of us that drive Uber have got tertiary qualifications, you know.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of young guys with IT degrees, accounting, commerce, and that can't get a job. And they're just filling in and trying to survive, you know, to try and pay while they're trying to get a more permanent job, you know.
What jobs did you have before Uber, if you don't mind me asking?
Ah, yes, I had a few from cattle under coconut plantation manager in Samoa to being the CEO of the Samoa Rugby Union, then an advocate, a union organizer for the former Service and Food Workers Union who took the pay equity and other landmark cases, and now amalgamated with the engineers to become the E2 Union. And that, and I was at Massey University, Palmerston North, in the 70s, and I graduated with a Bachelor of Science, and believe it or not, microbiology.
And so have you sort of been involved in unions for a while, which is why you wanted to sort of bring your union knowledge to Uber driving?
Yes, but you've got to understand, even before I immigrated to New Zealand, even in Samoa, I was an activist. You know, I led protest marches for the treatment of the chief auditor in the 90s and that. Even though saying so, I was out there, you know, activist. If I see something wrong, I want to do something to right it.
Are there any other issues for Uber drivers and gig workers more generally that you would like to fix? Where else would you like to see change other than this specific filing to the Employment Court?
I think the filing of the Employment Court is a hope that we can sit at the table and that. But there should be a fairer system. And we should all work in an environment in the country and that, with an environment that there is a standard that everybody aspires to, not the race to the bottom and trying to find ways to find cheap labor. if this gets away, I can see work like the care workers, teachers, and so forth. Their work will be on an app and that and sort of thing, you know, hire Miss Daisy or something like that, you know, to look after and that. And that's not fair because if workers don't have any rights and can't bargain for a fair wage and that, and it's just driven by the profit of one side, then while you're trying to make a life on it, and that, it's not fair.
That was Miole Kyle, a Wellington-based Uber driver, on First Union and Etu's filing to the Employment Court regarding rights for Uber drivers.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.